From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is BDGA Radio News.
And welcome. It is the Disc Golf News for the week of June 6, 2005. I'm Brian Sullivan. To our friends in Florida who are basketball fans, sorry about your luck, guys. Pistons move on. But this show is about disc golf. And coming up this week, spin putting. Is it right for you? Pat Vitale has some thoughts in the 60-second clinic. 99 World Champ Ron Russell has been off the tour this year. We know where he is, and we'll tell you what's up with that. Jay Redding samples some Colorado brew pubs in the Yeti Road Report. Results from the High Plains Challenge in Fort Morgan, Colorado, and rethinking the PDGA competitive structure.
That model, I think it left us with some developmental gaps that we still haven't filled in.
It is part two of our interview with PDGA Special Projects Director Dan Stork-Roddick. That and more coming up on this edition of PDGA Radio News. Brought to you by Discraft at discraft.com. Also by No Obstacles Disc Golf at plu-ent.com. And Innova Champion Discs, innovadiscs.com. The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra-long glide will add D to your drive no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with a new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf. There were a couple of Super Tour events on the PDGA calendar last weekend. We'll take you to the High Plains Challenge in Fort Morgan, Colorado. Results are coming your way, beginning with the Masters Division. And Jay Burkhart, with a strong finish, is going to win this one by three over Rod Baca. He'll take second place. Turner Ray finishes in third for the Masters. To the Women's Division, and the only touring player on the ladies' cards was Des Redding. Who do you think won? It was Des by 10. She is going to wipe out the rest of the field, but Peggy Berry put in a terrific effort. She's going to take second place, and Erica Prey takes third for the women. Now, to the Open Division, and all the way from the East Coast comes Michael Johansson, who says, thank you very much, and is going to snatch victory away from Jay Redding, who gets stuck with second place. Tom Carrillo takes third, and that was the High Plains Challenge. Time now for the 60-second clinic. A common problem among us disc golfers, coming up short on putts. You know that sound. Yeah. Bing, bang, dong. You know, your aim's right, but you're just a little short. Well, chances are good, if you're coming up short, you are what's known as a push putter. You're not putting a lot of spin on the disc. You're kind of just pushing it out there. The opposite of a push putter is, of course, a spin putter. Now, when you're a spin putter, yeah, you're going to get there, but you might go way past. So, which is right for you? Some advice this week from Pat Vitale.
You know how you avoid doing that if you're going to be an aggressive putter and you're going to use more spin? Really, it takes practice. When I first started, I putted twice as hard, and I spent a lot of time missing, going long and back and forth, and you know, I realized that wasn't much fun. So I did slow my putt down a little bit. I started using a little bit more height to let it drop, so I didn't have to throw it as hard. And you know, now I just realize that, you know, what's best for me is just to attack it. If I go 30 feet by, most of the time I hit it. So if you're skeptical about it, I'd say practice first. And when you're in tournaments or competitions, I'd say putt a little bit softer, a little bit higher, till you get comfortable with it, and then tack away.
Professional disc golfer Pat Vitale lives and works in South Bend, Indiana.
When you think disc golf, think No Obstacles. No Obstacles Disc Golf is found at www.plu-ent.com. Find information about No Obstacles events, like the Discraft Michigan Disc Golf Series stop at Boyne Mountain and Boyne City, and the Shanty Creek Throwdown. Quality events, quality disc golf products, and outstanding service. When you think disc golf, think No Obstacles at plu-ent.com.
Hi, this is Des Redding, and you are listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture this week, part two of our interview with PDGA Special Projects Director Dan Stork
Roddick. Now, we met Stork last week. This week, we take on some weightier topics, including Stork's rethinking of the PDGA competitive structure.
Stork, you've got a fairly unique perspective in that you have your finger on what's going on currently within the sport, but you also have a deep understanding of where we're coming from. So take a look at where we've been, where we are, and where we're going, and give us your thoughts.
Let me try to take one slice of that for this conversation. Let's just talk about competition.
Okay.
And that's probably one 360th of the pie that we could probably chew on here. But let's talk about that, because I think it's probably something that a lot of your listeners are keenly interested in, because most of them probably are PDGA members, and a lot of PDGA activity these days is about competition. And I'll warn you as I begin with this that it may sound a bit pessimistic. I don't mean it to be, but I think sometimes we need to shake ourselves a little bit to see clearly where we are, where we could be, and where we want to be. So with that caveat, let's start. I think that we may have made some early mistakes in the way that we began. And when I say we, I take large responsibility for this myself. I mean, obviously there were lots of other movers and shakers that took us down this path, but I certainly take a large share of it myself. And that is that not too long after we came to the conclusion that we had an analogy of ball golf going, and that it was pretty fun to play this game with discs. I'd say by not too long, I mean probably about 10 days after we came to that conclusion, the next thing out of our mouths was, let's have a world championship. Get in the van and let's drive to where the other people are who think they're good at this and decide who's best. And frankly, that was a magical time, and we had a hell of a lot of fun with it, because there were very few people who really knew what was going on with early disc golf, and it was pretty easy to gather them up. Things like AFDO brought people together from a pretty wide geography who were these sports mavericks who had discovered this unique and really appealing game. And very early in the going, our competitive juices kind of drove us to say, let's play at the highest level we can against the best competition we can and find out who's the world champ. In fact, galactic champ while we're at it. And that model, even though it was really satisfying and got us a lot of cool things, and continues to sustain us in a way, I think it left us with some developmental gaps that we still haven't filled in. And by that I mean, when we look at other successful sports models, and boy, you could include such a wide range of them, and obviously all the models are different. It's really hard to look across them and say, what makes bass fishing successful? Or, you know, who in the hell would have believed that 2 years ago, if I'd ask you what's going to be the hottest sport on television, are you going to say Texas Hold'em? You know, I mean, it just things surprise us. But when we look at other sports that are succeeding, let's say bowling, and ball golf, we'll put that in there too. One of the things that they share is that new people who come into the game are very quickly funneled into a support system that lets them know what's going on and provides them with a very convenient, very satisfying way to develop their game. And again, when we keep looking at bowling and ball golf, there are chances to play that don't immediately stratify you down into the lower reaches of the competition, but rather sustain you as you develop your play and give you a good bit of success. Of course, the way ball golf does it is driven almost exclusively by handicapping. I don't know that much about bowling. I assume they must have that kind of thing too. But there are leagues that are primarily fun, and from the few times that I've sat down behind them and watched, they're mostly lousy bowlers. But they're having a great time. And somehow, in the models that we have built, even though when you open Disc Golf World News these days and look, you've got to be impressed with how many competitions there are, most of them are still this same early model that says we're going to find out who the best is. And that, by definition, mathematically, is only going to be a few people. Now, we've sliced and diced it and said, well, let's create some divisions so that we can have a few more winners, and chosen mainly to divide them by age, which actually, when you look at it, is kind of a curious division. I've always thought it would make more sense to have some sort of formula where you take the number of kids you have, the number of hours you have to work, you know, how big your yard is, you know, you factor all those in, and then we tell you what division you should be in. And we'll talk about some other answers to that in a minute. But that slicing and dicing still only honored a few people at the top who play the game better than anyone else. And the best of the people also kind of had to travel fairly far to have this experience. So now we go back to the golf course. And you have to look at this with fresh eyes, because when you're into it, like you and I are and like your listeners are, when you go to your local golf course, you don't see it like a new person sees it. I mean, you know everything. You know where old hole one used to be, and you know where to go to get where the drinking fountain is, and where they move number three, and all of those things. When that new family comes to your course, it's a pretty intimidating setting. They may have heard that there's disc golf there, or that there was a tournament a couple of weeks ago, and they went into the toy chest and they pulled out those four whammo frisbees that they have, and they came out. And when they get there, there is not much to hold them. I mean, they may, if they're special kinds of people like we all are, they may work their way through that screen, but they're not being embraced in the way that they would be at a bowling alley or a ball golf course or a country club setting or anything like that.
So
you really have to find your way through.
If I can stop you there, are you suggesting then that maybe PDGA ought to look at somehow getting more involved with disc golf on a league level, on a more localized level?
I think that it's absolutely essential. The thing about it, and the reason it makes it tough, and the reason that I started with the warning that I didn't want to sound pessimistic, is that if we went out and did, and we periodically do surveys to our members, and we ask them, what do you think we ought to focus on? And typically, those results come back as ends rather than means. Things like, well, we ought to have more prize money. We ought to have better publicity. We ought to have more sponsors. We ought to have bigger events. And everybody agrees on those things. But the thing is that the engines that drive all of those results don't come back in that survey. And that is that you don't hear a top pro saying, you know, what we really need in this sport is better local clinics for people who don't know anything about the game. But the fact of the matter is that it's a pretty obvious sequence from that development up to all of these other goals that everybody agrees would be great to see the sport experience. And I'll give you a prime example. When the National Tour travels through the country. I would suggest that even in areas where it is quite successful, you will find that many, many recreational or just general public players, people who, if you were at a party, they would say, oh, I play disc golf. Yeah, I go over to Oak Grove and play. Our family has loved it for years. But they're not involved in anything beyond that. Those people are not coming to the national tour events. They aren't connecting. We haven't caught them at all. We haven't given them a satisfying experience beyond their own family's picnic recreation to have them take it seriously as a game that they would put on a par with other games they take seriously. We have missed that huge base of candidates. And because we've missed them, we really truly don't have anything of great substance to promise these sponsors that we want, the coverage that we want. I mean, you know this trail very well. When you're out trying to sell that TV spot and they say, well, what's your clientele out there? Who really cares about this? We don't have that base of people who care, and to a large extent, we don't have them because I don't believe we've paid any attention to them.
Well, you have certainly given us a lot to think about there. If you had one call to action to the membership today, what would it be?
Let me start with approaching that by telling you several promising things. Okay? I believe that there are promising things afoot within the membership and within PDGA. I believe that Pat Govang's current effort to start the STEAM operation that will foster club-level competition, large competitions that will involve many, many players, I believe that that's the kind of thing that is going to make a difference. I believe that the affiliate club program will ultimately make a difference when many, many more people who play locally at courses will see themselves as members of PDGA for reasons that make sense for them, even if they never leave town to play. I think that rating-based play has significant promise for broadening the range of success that people can have and giving them satisfying opportunities to play. I think that things like, even though it's a bit old now, I think things like World's Biggest, John Houck's continuing effort, I think they have promise. But frankly, I think that we have missed the promise of events like that because we have, in a sense, forgotten the main driving force of those events, which is it's our opportunity to spread the word. If you look at John's numbers, I think you'll find that they're falling, and they're falling because we've forgotten what it's about. Now, I realize that you asked me for a single thing, and so now I'll finally give you that. I believe that each one of us, if we look around, just the people we know, I'm not talking about going out and beating the bushes, look around at just the people we know but have never made that next step to get more involved at all. They don't see the magazine. They probably don't even know about PDGA. They've never been in a competition. They've never done any of those things. I would say that all of us who are seriously into disc golf probably know, conservatively, 10 people like that. I would say if we can individually make a commitment to work on just one of those people every year, I mean, it's the act locally approach, to spend some time with just one of those people and bring them along this coming year, it's pretty simple math. We double. And if we can do that just for a few years to get a surge, I think we would see dramatic growth. It sounds like a very small effort on the part of all of us as individuals, but you can see quickly that it would mean a tremendous change in the involvement that we have at this next level of play, because those are the people that we need to make all of those higher goals work. I mean, we cannot go out and sell national tour sponsorships if we don't have a better answer to who cares about the fact that these people play well. We have to be able to demonstrate, just like other sports have, that one way or another, they have found a clientele of people who care. And really, truly, the only way to make them care is to make them experience the game in a much more satisfying and involving way than we have. And once they've done that, then they'll know how great Juliana and Kenny and Steve and all of those people are when they come out to see the top players. And they'll appreciate the richness of that competition. But until we make that leap, we may seduce them out there under some other guise, and we may get a sponsor that we somehow buffalo in. But unless it's really paying off for them in terms of this growing base of people who understand and care, it'll be just an empty tent.
Dan Radica, I'm afraid we have run out of time, but I want to thank you for making some time for us this week and for your past and continued contributions to this great game.
Hey, I'll tell you, it's a pleasure to finally get on here because, as you know, I have been a big enthusiast of PDGA Radio, and I want to thank you for the wonderful work that you've been doing, and I think it really steps us up a notch to have this flowing out to the believers.
PDGA number 003 is Dan Stork Roddick. Our special projects director spoke to us from his home in Pasadena, California. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
Since 1979, Discraft has designed and manufactured tournament-quality flying discs for all disc sports. Our disc golf line is second to none. From beginners to world champion pros, disc golfers everywhere rely on the quality, consistency, and durability of every Discraft Pro Golf disc. Discraft, the world leader in disc sports.
Try the new Venom Maximum Distance Driver and the Drone in overstable mid-range in the new Pro D plastic for superior grip even when wet from Discraft. You know, there's really nothing better after a long day of disc golf than a couple of cold brewskis. Problem is, if you're in a town of 7 brew pubs, which one do you choose? Well, if you're our man, Jay Redding, you choose them all. Here's this week's Yeti Road Report.
After a 24-hour drive from Portland, Oregon, I'm calling from the world headquarters of the New Belgium Brewing Company and the home of the tasty Fat Tire Ale in Fort Collins, Colorado. This is a very cool city on the front range of the Rocky Mountains. Bicycles seem to be the styling way to negotiate the city here, and the New Belgium, there are about 40 Fat Tire Flyer bicycles sitting outside here that the employees all ride to work on a daily basis. We got into the spirit along with some cousins that live here and rented some recumbent bicycles. You know, the ones that you kind of recline back and pedal out in front of you, and they're hard to control and steer, and they look funny, but, well, they're great fun. And we rode the city while completing the beer sampling tour of Fort Collins, and it's 7 breweries. Yeah, baby. I was proud to be the only one in the group to have not wiped out during the all-day ride. We capped off the tour with a stop at the Fort Collins Art Gallery that was featuring some art from famed Grateful Dead drummer Bill Krutzman. Oh yeah, and one more brewery. And the next day, we then traveled down the road to Fort Morgan and the High Plains Challenge, where John Bird and the Mile High Disc Golf Club hosted a great super tour event. Riverside Park along the South Platte River featured 2 21-hole courses with lush green grass, water fountains, rugged Colorado plains, deep lagoons, and high-flowing river. Many took advantage of the free RV and tent camping at the park, and super senior Grandmaster Peter Shive won the Pro Grandmaster division, beating the younger dudes, and he missed USDGC qualification by one stroke. I have a feeling that he'll be in Rock Hill this October, however. The final nine and ensuing playoffs saw 19 birdies, including a 220-foot fairway ching on the signature hole number 8 by Tom Carrillo, and yours truly made up three strokes and found myself tied with North Carolina's Michael Johansson after the final nine. MJ won the four-hole playoff, however, after my bulldog found the base of the pin on hole number 4 and skipped out of bounds a mere 3 feet from the basket. Michael Joe canned his birdie. Revenge will be mine in Kansas City. Roar!
You know it's got to be June when I can only get through about half of the schedule for this weekend, June 11th and 12th, but I'll try my best. Here we go. The monster event is the Kansas City Wide Open. This is a national tour event. Everybody must go there or be square, or you might be at the Nassau Highlands in Japan for the Japan National Championships. Good luck to everybody there. The Circus City Open this weekend in Peru, Indiana. That's for AMs only. Another AM event is the Waco Charity Open in Texas. The Montrose Open in Colorado this weekend. In Wisconsin, it's the Baraboo Lions Open. AMs on Saturday, Advance and Pro on Sunday. In Lansing, Michigan, the DMDGS number 2 at Grand Woods. AM Saturday, Pro and Advance on Sunday. In North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, it's the Harborview Challenge. Check out the New Mexico State Championships. Or in California, it's Steady Ed's Birthday Memorial. That's in Lakeport. The Tally Open this weekend in Helsinki, Finland. Check the full list, PDGA.com. And finally, you will recall last week we reported that the course designers were headed to the National Disc Golf Center in Columbia County, Georgia, to put the final tweaks on their respective courses before the clearing of the trees begins later this month. And we can now report that those designers have been working hard for the past 4 or 5 days to make sure that these will be super fine championship courses. And those working included Jim Kenner and Ron Russell on the Discraft East course, Chuck Kennedy and Tom Monroe working on the DGA North course, and Rappin' John Houck on the Innova South course. They all report that their courses are super fine, and there are many, many trees. Now, as we mentioned, Ron Russell was there, and the question then becomes, well, hey, where the heck's Ron Russell been? This is the 1999 world champion, the guy who finally defeated Ken Climo after like a 9-year run, and he's been off the tour this year. Well, reports are that Ron Russell has been working to obtain his roofing contractor's license, and he's going back to roofing, but he says he's still having a great time throwing a couple of times a week, and he will be out this year at the World Championships in Pennsylvania. And one correction, last week we reported that the first course at the National Disc Golf Center could be open as early as July. No, not even close. Try October. But the folks at headquarters do suggest that if you're anywhere in the neighborhood this week, next week, whenever, be sure and stop by, say hello. There is a temporary 6-hole course that is in there now, so you can play a little bit and get a good feel for the land and how it's going to be, because this will be the home for the PDGA for many, many years to come. And that, my friends, is the Disc Golf News for the week of June 6th. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks to our sponsors, Discraft, No Obstacles Disc Golf, and Innova Champion Discs. And until next week, I hope you will get out there, huck some plastic, stay off of that darn cage, and keep them in the fairways.